unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people.
Good morning, and you're listening to Community Living Radio. And if we all bear with me a second, Ben, are you there? Okay. Ben, can we hear you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Let's see that again. All right. We seem to be having technical difficulties getting Ben here. And okay, and we will have a guest today. Her name is Hallie Robinson, and she is a graphic artist with fibromyalgia. And she's very talented, and she's works with Access TV and a number of other people, and you can find our artwork at artsyallie.com. Now let's see if Allie is here. Hello, Allie, are you there?
I am.
Hey, there's Allie. Okay, now let's see if our co-host Ben is around.
Yep, I'm here.
Ben, you're there. Okay, awesome. We got everybody here for our conversation. All right, great. Allie, let's start from the very beginning. What made you become an artist to begin with?
Well, I've always been really creative and artistic, but professionally throughout my life, I was a bartender up until I was around 35. Then I was struck by my illness, and that ended my career, so to say. Mm-hmm. And so out of boredom, I really tried to embrace my creativity and keep myself busy, you know, keep expressing myself. And, you know, so I would feel like I'm still trying to contribute something. And so ultimately, you know, I'd love to make enough income from home to replace my monthly disability check. That would be wonderful. So,
you know, we hear that from a lot of people who are on disability, and just because you're like fibromyalgia, I know it takes a lot out of you. We've had a few guests on with fibromyalgia and chronic pain, and they all say the same thing, that the disorder itself just starts to take, you know, stuff from you. You know, but that was that, but all those who can't sit still, they still want, it's like, hey, I want to replace this, this disability check with my own income. So, mm-hmm. So you're pretty common on that one. Let's go through what were you like before fibromyalgia and comparison to now?
Well, before fibromyalgia, I was a very active person. I did a lot of hiking, camping, outdoor stuff. I worked at a very busy casino in Ontario. So, you know, I worked full-time all my life. Yeah, it was, it just, fibromyalgia kind of, you know, robbed me of my life in a way. I could no longer do a lot of the things I really enjoyed doing because the physical part of the disability made it impossible. And then in a lot of other things I enjoy, you know, the fatigue stops me from being able to do that as well. Hmm. So, yeah, that was pretty vibrant and active.
Yeah. And, I was going to say, because you work on Access TV, and that's how we met. That's a pretty active thing.
Well, it was, you know, it's fairly new to me too. I've only been there a couple of months, but you know, I needed to get out and about and start doing more social things and get out into the community. And I looked at the opportunity as a great way to network with new people and maybe learn some new skills. Mm-hmm. It's a very tiring day for me, though, I have to admit. You know, I'm there for you know, 8 to 10 hours, and I'm just absolutely exhausted by the end of the day, and it usually takes me a few days to recuperate.
Oh, so this may have been a little bit of a cruel joke dragging you up early to be on radio just a few days
okay,
after I'm... taping.
No, that's okay.
Well, I know that the Shaw Studios, unlike some other places, they have like just concrete floors and everything. And how does that wear at you for that day?
It seems to be all right for me. I basically, as a, you know, being a, you know, part of the line producing part of it, I get to sit a lot. Mm-hmm. on a pretty comfortable chair, so I'm not up and about too often, and so I'm not on my feet all day, which is a good thing. If I were, then I'd have to probably ask them to change, you know, what they need me to work on that day.
Right. Yeah. Because the last time I had, the last taping, you were helping getting people into makeup and checking them in and all that kind of stuff at the front desk. So.
Yep.
So it was a lot of up and down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was okay for me. Mm-hmm.
So, what do you do, to overcome like those days that those bad days? What do you do to overcome those?
Well, to overcome my bad days, I just really have to try and focus inward on things that I can keep my mind off of it. I mean, you know, if I'm having a lot of pain, I have a TENS unit, which is like, you know, the electric muscle stimulation. So I can put on one of those pads and, you know, turn it on low, and the slight tingle is enough to trick the brain into paying attention to the tingle instead of the pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I have multiple barriers, so I have to,
and
you
plus
know,
actually relaxes your muscles too, correct?
Yeah. So I just try to keep busy. My art really helps me stay focused for the most part. Even for a few years, I did some stand-up comedy with a mental health organization to get me out of the house, get me busy with other people and things like that. And it actually helped to erase some of the stigma I felt around my own illness. Mm-hmm. Keep me social and stuff like that. I also go out and play cards and to small gatherings within the mental health community, you know, to make me feel like I'm still a part of something. I volunteer from time to time, as you know, and I also trade services with a marketing company who hosts my website. So it's kind of nice that we can trade off on our services. And so we're both saving money, and it works out pretty good.
Yeah.
And writing was also another way to help myself, you know.
I got a question as well, Michael.
Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
So you mentioning about like doing artwork and plus you do comedy as well, correct?
I used to. I actually gave it up. I did it for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun, but it became expensive because it was on a volunteer basis. So, you know, traveling around the lower mainland and all that, the cost of gas and mm-hmm. and parking and everything else just became too much for me. And so I decided to step back from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a group I was with, Stand Up for Mental Health. And it was great. It was really a lot of fun. And I learned a lot. And I met a lot of very interesting people.
Yeah.
I was on the Granville Island stage 4 times and got to even perform with Michael McDonald, which was really exciting.
Was that the backstage lounge?
Pardon?
Was that the backstage lounge?
That was the Granville Island stage.
Granville Island stage. And like Michael McDonald, I used to be a Doobie Brother of Michael McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah. So, I think he's pretty well known around the music industry for being a laid-back kind of nice, all-around nice guy. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, it sounds like you're artistic in many different ways, performance as well as visual.
Yeah, and writing too. I actually just finished editing my book, and I'll be publishing that in March. It's a romance novel.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh,
how did that come about? Hey, we're talking about Allie today, right?
Yeah. It's called Epic Crazy Love.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, do you want me to read a blurb to you?
Sure.
All right. Okay. All right. Here goes. Epic Crazy Love. What lengths would you go to protecting those you love? Epic Crazy Love is a harrowing journey following 2 reunited soulmates. Both are empathically connected artists who struggle with mental illness. Cassidy and Caprice will find their strength and courage tested, most severely among the wilds of the Cornwall Ranch in beautiful British Columbian mountains, where survival is a struggle, where evil men do evil deeds.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
I'm hoping so.
We'll talk later on about the movie, too.
Well, I got another question, though, about the book.
Sure.
So, just a quick question, though, for about your book, when's that going to be released?
Around the end of March. I haven't quite got a release date on it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still finishing up the formatting and deciding where I am planning to self-publish. I used to be a publisher, actually, many years ago, and so I've decided that this is going to be the best way for me to market my own book would be to self-publish on, you know, various sites like Amazon and Lulu and other things like that.
Yeah.
But there's one of them that actually gives you a specific release date. And so it depends on when I upload it, what date they give me. So for now, I can only say towards the end of March.
Okay. So is your book going to be print as well as like the Kindle Kobo sort of thing?
Yeah, it'll be available in print and in ebook, as well as I'll probably offer it in PDF on my own website.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
Writing's a great way to express yourself. So, you know, when you're having problems like me and you're facing so many different barriers, you have to keep your mind off of it or you'll just drive yourself mad. And I found that I was having a particularly difficult time at that time when I wrote the book. And a friend had actually said, why don't you write and try and, you know, just express some things. And so that's what I did. And it ended up taking a life of its own and went down a completely different road I did not expect. At first, it was more about the real me. And then it took off into fiction. I was like, okay, I got to do something with this idea. And I just went with it. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty interesting. It's a fun journey.
Yeah. Okay. I need to take care of a little bit of business here. So if you guys just hang in there for a second. And
sure. Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
Great.
Okay. You're listening to Community Living Radio here on the NCRA Networks, and we're recording this live on here at CITR UBC Radio 101.9 FM.
Safe Amp is putting on another all-ages show with Nick Fit, The Rambling Derelicts, Mirepoix, and Scumlade. Come to the Russian Hall to see this sweet show and pick up pieces by local visual artists. It's March 4th, starting at 7, and everyone's welcome.
Interested in starting a project to benefit the representation or experiences of historically disadvantaged groups within the UBC community?
Apply for funding through the Equity Enhancement Fund, which supports community-based initiatives that enhance equity, diversity, inclusion, and intercultural understanding at UBC.
It's open to UBC students, faculty, and staff. The deadline is February 28, 2017.
More information can be found at equity.ubc.ca/EEF-fund.
The Crane Library is looking for student volunteers to record textbooks for those who cannot use print at the university. If you are a UBC student who is computer literate with an ability to read university material aloud and you have a willingness to learn new techniques, we ask for a 2-hour commitment once a week. For additional information and to set up an audition, call 604-822-6114 or email crane.volunteer@ubc.ca.
And we're back here live at CITR UBC Radio here on 101.9 FM. And we're talking with Allie Robertson of artsyallie.com. She is an artist, and on very many, many levels, she is an artist that, we just found out that she's going to release a book as well as doing visual arts and everything else. So I guess my next question for you, Allie, would be you're doing so many things to keep yourself occupied. So that what is your biggest daily challenge?
That's kind of a tough question. I guess it depends on the day, really. It depends on what I have, you know, in my calendar, whether I have to get up, have a shower, and get out the door. That can be a very big challenge for me because I find that, you know, all that just saps all of my energy for the day. So by the time I walk out the door, I'm already, you know, my spoons are pretty much already spent. Mm-hmm. So that is my biggest challenge, is you know, if I have a full day, if I have too much on my plate for the day, will I have the energy to get through it? And even if I don't have the energy to get through it, I have to push through it. But then I have to remember that I'll pay for it for the next few days. So that's one of my biggest challenges, is the fatigue and the energy and weakness.
Okay, you used a term that people with fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue might not actually know what it means. Spoon.
Oh.
Can you define spoon?
Well, I don't recall the person, so I can't credit them, but they call it spoon theory. And basically what she did was trying to explain how fibromyalgia affects a person from day to day. So she explained to her friend, she took a handful of spoons and put them in a glass. And she said to her friend, okay, so you need to get out of bed. These are all the spoons you get for the day. This is all you have. Each spoon represents energy and, mm-hmm. you know, the amount of energy you spend doing a task. So she said to her friend, okay, so I want you to get out of bed. Take a spoon. Okay, so she had to take a spoon out of the cup and put it off to the side. And then she said, okay, now you need a shower. So you can take three spoons out. So she had to take out three spoons. And, okay, now you have to walk to the bus stop. You can take out another three spoons. And, you know, now you need to, you know, spend time out shopping. You need to take another three spoons out. And she's like, well, now I have no spoons left. Now what do I do? And she's like, well, that's what happens, is you end up having to borrow spoons from the next day to complete a task in that particular day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because a lot of people don't realize that this is how we have to kind of view our energy, is what our tasks are and how much energy we have to spend on those tasks in order to get through the day and the following days. Because, you know, you don't just think of the day at hand, you have to think into the future as well. So, you know, on a particularly hard day, it can take up my reserves for several days to come.
Yeah. Other guests other doctors, I should say, that I've met with this, one of the most important thing they talk about is pacing, and the borrowing of spoons from the day before borrowing of spoons the day before to get through. It, you know, when you wake up the next day, she said, if you hadn't paced well enough, that you're going to pay for it that very next day.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how she put it to her patients that had chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And the public doesn't understand that part.
No. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, people will see me doing things. They'll see me doing a task and go, but I thought you couldn't do that. No, it's not that I can't do it. It's that I only do it when I can. And when I can do it, I pay for it in a longer sense than you could imagine.
Yeah. So, I know you have clients and everything. How do they respond to the fact that, okay, that you're having a bad day and you may not be able to get to their stuff that day?
To whom are you referring?
Like your clients for graphic arts.
I've never really had that problem. Hmm. For me, the most comfortable place for me in my home is at my desk, in my chair. My desk chair gives me posture. I feel less pain. If I linger in bed, I'm in way too much pain. And I can't sit, you know, on a couch or a big comfy chair for any length of time without feeling too much pain. So I stay at my desk where I am not completely pain-free, but I can cope throughout the entire day there. Okay. So while I'm there, I might as well be doing something. So, you know, usually clients will give me a job and boom, I'm usually done within 24 hours.
Wow.
I don't, you know, I don't lollygag or, you know, I just get it done.
Right, right. No, that makes sense instead of going, woe is me and not getting anything done. Is like, okay, well, I know I can do this if I stay here and be comfortable. I know I can get something done. That's yeah. a really cool way of doing it, and pretty intuitive of you to be able to set your desk up so that you can continue with some work and things like that.
Yeah, I even bought myself an L-shaped desk so that I have my Intuos tablet and I have my keyboard right in the corner, you know, where the bend is, so that I can rest both my arms on either side of the desk. So, you know, so I'm not expending an enormous amount of energy when I need to type or when I need to use my tablet for my art, things like that. The only time I ever have to actually say to a client, you know, it's going to be a little bit longer, is if I've already done something to my arm, or if I wake up and my arm is really cramped or sore. And in that case, I might say, you know, I might not get to this till tomorrow. And then I'll use my TENS unit to help, you know, get it moving again.
Very cool. Okay. So at this point we are, finished our half hour show. So we're going to say goodbye to the folks who are listening to our half hour show, on CFRO, 100.5 FM. We will be right back with the rest of the full hour. Okay, so just hang in there, guys.
Most days, my partner and I pass through the world unnoticed. He's a he, I'm a she, and that makes us invisible. Except the time we crossed the border into the U.S. My partner wasn't a citizen of either country, so we had to park our car and request special permission to enter. At that time, his passport didn't indicate that he was male. So, as he had done many times before, he calmly explained why. The guard showed no expression. She simply nodded and left the counter with his passport, disappearing into a small office. While she was in there, five different guards slowly walked out of that office, each one trying but failing to appear nonchalant, and looked at my partner. Or I should say, looked over my partner. I was fuming. I wanted to call them out on it, but if I did, I would have ruined our chances of spending the weekend in Portland. Eventually, we were given permission to enter. Without a word, we walked back to our car and continued on our journey. I can't believe what just happened, I raged. My partner grinned and shrugged his shoulders. At the time, I was writing an article about how being queer was not just about being in a state of oppression. Some of us experience a certain pleasure in being a freak, and I called that experience freaking. Why aren't you mad? I demanded. It's just like freaking, he said. While I was raging at the customs counter, my partner was quietly enjoying messing with the border guards' heads.
And we're back here on CITR for the rest of the 1 hour show. And we're speaking with Allie Robinson. And we also have on phone Ben, who's chiming in every now and again with questions. And we're going to get back to the conversation. Okay, so Allie, what is your favorite medium to work in as an artist?
I'd have to say digital art. I did do acrylics for quite some time, but it became too expensive for me. And when I started playing around in Photoshop, I just found that it was so interesting and adaptable to many things. So I just started taking, you know, a lot of tutorials on YouTube and other websites like that, and learned everything I possibly could, mm-hmm. and then just started having fun with it. And I can create a lot of fun things with digital art. I also really like photography too, and doing photo restorations.
Yeah, I saw that on your website also. The two things that really stood out was there was a photograph of a baby just laughing, and then you had this this space interplanetary thing. It's like it almost looked like I was looking through a telescope out at the stars. So yeah. Very cool. So let's start with it with the space scene. What was the inspiration for that?
Well, I'm a major Trekkie, and I love everything sci-fi, and I really love outer space. And I've done a few space type pieces, and that day I needed something to be completely creative from the inside and out. And I had it's really odd. I have a window, like a chime outside my window, mm-hmm. and when the light shines from the downstairs unit upwards, and I look out my bedroom window, I see a shadow from the chime on the roof, and it looks just like the Enterprise. So I often think about that, and I stare up at the night sky a lot.
It's almost like a rainbow. So it's really weird thing, correct?
Just really wanted to make something fun and interesting that I could stare at.
Wow. Yeah. What was that, Ben? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying that when she was talking about the chime kind of thing through the window kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Was she mentioning about like you can see a part of like the rainbow as well going through down to the unit?
No, not the rainbow. It was the shadow. The shadow from the light.
I see, okay.
I'm up on the, I don't know what that's called, the overhang of the roof. The shadow from it would look just like the outline of the Enterprise.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I'm a
Trekkie fan myself. And I'm happy to say that one of the fan expos, I actually got to shake Brent Spiner's hand,
which was really
pretty cool. He's a really nice guy. And who knows, we still might do that film together. Each of the Trek characters, they always seem to have like a cause that goes with them, and mm-hmm. His was an environmental cause about making sure that people have clean water.
Yeah.
So.
Which is a great cause.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yes, very important, and he was. I think we wound up talking for almost a half hour. So I got lucky that, you know how at Fan Expo they set up lines that you can go and get autographs done with the different stars?
Yeah.
Well, his was pretty empty. I don't know why it was empty, but his was pretty empty. We got to talk for about a half hour before the next person came up into his line.
That must have been exciting.
It was pretty cool. Like I said, he was a very nice guy to be able to talk like that. So yeah. So back to questions for Allie though. Do you have this is a two-part question. Do you have a favorite artist, and do you have a favorite art form?
I've always really admired impressionist paintings. It's not something I'm really good at doing, but you know, Van Gogh has always been a hero to me. He's just such an amazing artist, and he suffered greatly with his mental illness. And I always felt a connection to his art and his struggles.
Yeah. You know, Van Gogh died at an early age, didn't he?
I think he was in his 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
40s. Something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the whole thing because there was one of the impressionists that died. 40 is still fairly young. I don't know, even for the time he was, I would think. But I'm trying to remember if he was the one who committed suicide.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was Van Gogh, right?
Yeah.
Because of. I guess if he was living now, they would determine him to be bipolar or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Impressionist art and Van Gogh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've only done one impressionist painting, and it turned out really well, but I'm still not that confident with it to do it every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, being an artist, you see the world a certain way.
I find I see the world in very different ways. I don't know. It's just hard to explain. Like, I can look at almost anything and make art out of it. Like,
yeah.
I can see the beauty in the ugly, you know, like even from pond scum, you know, I could take a photo of that and see something that somebody else just would not see.
Yeah. And that's where the tough part is. And what separates the as far as photography is concerned, the snapshot person from the artist is, the artist finds it and brings it out so the rest of the world can see it.
Yeah.
So
that's one thing I really love about photography.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun that way. What about the photo restoration? How does that work out for you?
It can be a lot of fun. I do get the odd commission to do a photo restoration for somebody, you know, Mother's Day. Sometimes somebody will approach me with a project for their mother or their aunt or whatever, and I will I'll scan the image and then I will fix it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, paint over the areas that are damaged. Fix things. Sometimes they might want it colorized, so then I'd use masking and colorize them so that they look quite realistic. And then I save the digital file for them, and then I print it up usually into an 8x10 and send it off to them.
Very cool.
I have a lot of fun trying to do like things like vintage photos of movie stars. And there's a couple of websites in the United States. I think it was Smithsonian or one of those anyways. I'm able to, they have public domain images that you can download from, you know, Civil War area and stuff like that. And so I like to download those and restore them just to improve on my craft.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, let me jump to, it looks like I have one last promo to take care of here, and then we're free to the end of the conversation. So hang on 1 second. Let me take care of this one last one. And you're listening to Community Living Radio here on the NCRA Networks and live at CITR UBC Radio 101.9 FM.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tattooing, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
And we're back, and we're speaking with Allie Robertson, and Ben is around asking questions also on the phone. And welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so, oh, yes. That was what I wanted to make. I was going to make a comment about Liz Taylor. Folks, you got when you go to artsyalley.com, she has a colorized version of Liz Taylor, a young Liz Taylor, and it's really cool. And there's like three of them, and I think you show a little bit of the process that you go through to colorize or restore a photo. And Liz Taylor's one of them. And I was really impressed. And I've always thought that Liz Taylor was one of the more beautiful stars that we've ever had appear on the silver screen. So
I agree.
What other really cool things could we find on your website since we're talking about artsyalley.com?
Well, let's see. I have like 9 different galleries to browse through, really. Each gallery pretty much, you know, showcases the different things I do. Like I do, digital paintings of people and of pets. I also do my own kind of, freehand digital art. I do photography as well. So I have several different projects. Like I did a black and white project of all my best images from last year, the photo restorations, and some panoramic photography. I've also done a lot of book cover art. Mm-hmm. So that's all displayed there as well. And the website also has a blog. So I can post occasional, current projects and stuff.
Oh, cool. So what other creative bits do you do that we might not find on a website?
I'm a 3D texturist for a 3D gaming website. So basically, I make digital products such as crowns and jewelry and clothing and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the players can then purchase those products and add them to their characters as accessories. The products are pretty much like they cost pennies, but, they add up. And so that gives me a different thing to work on. I also love photography, so when I have enough energy, I'll take my camera out and capture the world as I see it. Yeah. And I keep busy with various social media sites like Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, all those other artist pages and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's, now that you mentioned the texture and the colorization and all that sort of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I remember you sit, we were sitting at Access TV, and you were talking about wanting to learn CGI.
Yeah.
And so, okay, because you have your good days, your bad days, does that cause a challenge in finding the right school?
Well, I've been looking at going to some online schools. I've done some research into what ones would work the best, and I've come up with three different ones that will, you know, that have what I need. They're 3D modeling and animation programs. The CGI would come after the modeling and animation if I'm able to go further with that. Mm-hmm. So right now it's just a matter of trying to get the government to help fund it, mm-hmm. so that I can actually get back to school and do all that.
Yeah. So that's one of your major plans for the future.
My main goal right now is, you know, I've gone through a whole list of different goals in the past year, and the book was the most recent one, so, you know, that one's finally finished and almost ready to go. And now I've been working with WorkBC to try see if I'm able to get funding for school. And, you know, because, like, there's a lot of jobs that are available to me that I have the skills for, but I don't have the diploma to actually land the job. So school is a must if I want to actually grow and, you know, possibly take over my financial stability.
Right. Okay. And that does make sense, you know. Yeah, got to show the formal training to be able to do all that. Yep.
Yeah.
Does Allie have a really big message for the world?
Well, for me, I would have to say, celebrate your differences. They are what makes the world such an interesting place to be. And I've been quite disturbed lately. Every time I see the news, I'm saddened by the racial and political climate I see. And we all have something to offer, so we need to learn to embrace one another. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is a pretty cool message. What else should people know about Allie before we have to go?
You're welcome to, you know, find me on Artsy Allie. By the way, I'm going to spell it out because a lot of people might not spell it right. It's artzyally.com. And, you know, check out the different services that I can offer, and you can find me under the same Artsy Allie on Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd be happy to help anybody out.
Okay. And I can't remember if I haven't made you part of our Community Living Radio group, I will very shortly. So you can post up some of your stuff there, and so people get to know you.
I thank you very much for that opportunity.
Yeah. So I think you're a wonderful person. I think the rest of the world needs to know that, hey, Allie Robinson is a great person and an awesome artist.
Hey, can I say one thing?
Go ahead, Ben.
Allie.
Yes,
can you repeat that one more time for our listeners?
The spelling of my website?
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. It's A-R-T, tzyally.com.
Okay. And is there any other way that people can use the, you mentioned all the social media, it's all Artsy Alley, spelled the same way, ArtZyAlly dot at Instagram and at Twitter, right?
Yeah. Actually, Twitter, I'm just wondering, it might be a different name on Twitter. Yeah, I'm just checking really quick here for you. No, I do have it under Artsy Alley.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so perfect.
Allie, it's been a pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure, and I thank you very much, Michael.
And I will see you next month at Access TV.
Yep, yep.
And we'll have some more fun along the way. I hope to find some projects to work with you on. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Thank you very much.
All right. So at this point, while we're saying bye, Allie, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Take it easy, Allie.
Thanks, Ben. You too.
All right. So Ben, you have announcements? Ben, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. You had some announcements, right?
Yes. Matter of fact, I do. I got three, actually, this time. Because normally, I usually have one announcement, but I've got three. So the first one is what's happening around town is on Sunday, February the 26th, 2017, at 898 West Broadway at the band at Fairview Pub. The first band is called Cat Murphy Band and Friends. They're going to be playing at 8:30 till about 12 midnight. And the cost is $6 to get in. And then on February the 24th, which is a Friday, the live show at Trees from 8 to 10 is my friend Caitlin. She'll be playing there this Friday night. And for my show, on Sunday, March the 5th of 2017, from 8:30 to 10 p.m. at 898 West Broadway. It's all by donation. We have some my bands going to be playing with special guests, and I hope you guys see you there.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
So I guess I do have an announcement myself. As you know, we did the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation 2017 calendar, and we're going to repeat that, and we're going to actually do the 2018 calendar. And it looks like we might actually have those through the presses and everything available by the end of June, maybe the beginning of July. So,
oh wow,
it'd be pretty cool. Hey, the print shop was like, they were impressed. They said while last year we were probably one of the last calendars to get printed, that this year we're going to be one of the first ones to get printed when we get it all done. So yeah, so instead of being behind the eight ball this time, we're actually going to be ahead of the game. So I'm actually making that announcement right now. So look for those to be out in a few months in June.
That's very smart of you, getting the head of the game for this one, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it was a lot of work. And the very first one was like, how the heck do I do a calendar layout? How do you get the actual calendar part?
Yeah.
And who has the right template that matches the artwork and that sort of thing, right?
And it's a lot of work too.
Yeah.
You got to make it everything, like, you know, perfect for that.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. And I made some mistakes anyway, but that's something else. But so they'll be out, like I said, towards the end of June, beginning of July. And we're also going to be doing a road trip, again, to promote Invisible Illnesses. especially like fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue.
Right.
And we're still, the planning of that's still going, we still got to figure that out. But I will invite people to go ahead and, if they're on Facebook, to go ahead and look for the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation, their Facebook page. And there should be a phone number on there that you can contact the thrift shop and find out if you want to help make the trip happen, how you can actually get involved. So,
okay, yeah. Here's another idea for you guys too, is why you guys like do like a fundraiser for that as well. If you guys bring some calendars and stuff, and we're gonna have like live performance at Fairview, we can do that too, can we not?
Sure, we could do that.
Okay, because what I can do is I can book that. If you guys just give me just email me the date, and then we'll go from there, and I can we'll do the show there.
Okay, well let me find out from of course the founder of the foundation, Cheryl Young, and we'll all get in a conversation and figure out how that we can make that work. Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. So it looks like that will be about it for us today.
Yep.
And we will see you next week. And next week we will have Sheila Sutherland.
Okay.
And I believe the week after that we'll have Alfie Bell. And she is a phenomenal person. Her message is about how to spread love around the world. One high five at a time. So, yeah. So
awesome.
Yep. We'll have a lot of fun with that one also. Okay.
We can't wait for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be, I think that would be our first show in March. Yeah.
Okay. And, sounds good.
Excuse me. Beyond that, I'm not exactly sure who's going to be coming along. So, all right.
Sounds good, Michael.
Don't forget to email us at, Give Me Living Radio at gmail.com